Well, it's good to be here tonight, and I know many of y'all don't know us that well or know me that well. We met Brother Benny and Sister Margaret 10 years or so ago. Mindy wasn't even born yet. And we met them through a Dave Ramsey course that our brother-in-law taught. Grown to love them ever since. Like he said, my name's Clayton Center. I was born again in Logan County, Kentucky, at New Harmony Missionary Baptist Church on June 13, 1979. A birthday I'll never forget. I was called a priest in 1981 as a 17-year-old boy about to turn 18. And tried for a few years, for about 4 years, and decided that life wasn't for me and quit. In 1992, I picked it back up and been trying ever since. Should have been doing this over 30 years, but sadly, all I've been trying to do it for is roughly 26 years. But God's richly blessed, and it's a wonderful work. Anything to do with the Lord is a wonderful work. But I had thought, I told Brother Junior and Glenn, I said, boy, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got two chapters to read. And I normally don't do that. But luckily, they're short chapters. And the thing is, they tie together. That's what makes it so hard to stop. Some people think just because it says the end of the chapter, it's the end of that message. It's not always that way. Well, I'm going to start reading the 142nd chapter of Psalms. And this is David doing the talking. And from what I studied correctly, David was hiding in a cave in this 142nd chapter. He was running for his life from people trying to kill him. You know, David was a blessed man, but he also had a hard life. Think because he had a king, he had it made. You think a king tried to kill him? His own son tried to kill him? He didn't have it very easy, did he? Why? Because he wants to serve the Lord. And when you serve the Lord, it don't mean your life is always going to be a bed of roses. It is, if you really think about it. It's a beautiful life, but go to pick those roses. They're full of thorns, ain't they? Sometimes to get the beauty, we got to go through the little rough times. And you know, that's the thing about the Lord. He blesses us. If we just stay in there and hold strong and trust in Him and look to Him, He blesses us. I don't know about Brother Benny and Brother Junior, but some of my blessed times pastoring was, or doing mission work, when I went through the rough times. You get down that valley and it's hard and it's rough, but when you reach the top of that mountain, you see the rewards. And I believe, like Brother Glasscock said this morning, you know, these preachers on TV want to say, send us $100 and we'll pray for you to get monetary gain. Blessings. That ain't what the Bible's about. The Bible says, store up your treasures in heaven. That's where the blessings are. But start by reading in a 142nd song. It says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplications. I poured out my complaints before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path and the way wherein I walked, had they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I might praise the name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I'm going to stop right there just for a few minutes. You know, David knew who his strength was. You know, many times when we get things in our life that just seem to overwhelm us and bring us down, we forget that God is the one we should turn to. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of stubborn. I try to handle things myself. And it don't always work. Well, I'll put this way, it never works. You know, many times in being in mission work and other work for God, I don't know if y'all know much about mission work, but it's hard. Many nights I go to not even mission work, even pastor work. The little church I pastored was very small. I was the first pastor, and I was there in the mission. Then they come to church, and they call me the pastor. Well, it seemed at one time there that trouble came to the church, and we had to deal with a problem. I lost over half my congregation standing for the Lord. They stopped coming. And I got down and out and very distraught in it and walked away, resigned as pastor before my time. Because I got discouraged and I gave up on God and gave up on the church. It was the wrong thing to do. Well, I went and sat under Brother Billy Moran for a few months, and if any of y'all know him, he's got a way of teaching you without saying a word. And the church called me up and asked me to come back and pastor. That time the Lord done beat my socks off of me clean down to the ground. But I told him, yeah, I'll take it back. Now I went to Brother Moran and explained to him that I was going back. You know what his reply was? Good should never left in the first place. The man knew I was wrong because God showed it. God used this man to strengthen me and teach me who my refuge was as a young preacher and pastor. And he showed me that strength was in God. And him handling a church with over 300 some people in it. It seemed like he handled it without any sweat at all. But to talk to me, he had his problems. But you never knew it, because he knew in his years of experience as a pastor and a preacher that he had to rely on God. And that's who we must rely on, no matter how bad and rough this old world gets, no matter how tough our life gets, that God is our refuge. Hey, you know, as David says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with the Lord I made my supplications. He made it known to God that he needed God. And many times I realized that God wants to hear from us. God wants us to pick up and call on him and talk to him and tell him our needs. And that he can help us. That we can know where we need to rely. Not on man, but upon God. And think about it. David knew this. You see, he was in a lot of strong trouble. He got so low he was hiding in caves for his very life. But yet he didn't give up, you know, sir. He went to God. And he goes on down this next chapter and he asked God to teach him his ways. Now, we often go with God that. See, I had to go back and ask God as a young pastor and preacher, teach me what I must do. And see, God did that through Brother Moran. Sometimes you got elders in our churches or those who are a little bit more experienced than we are to teach us. As this young lady said, Grandpa can teach her how to lead sing. He's teaching you. Honey, he's molding you. God's using him to make you a better child of God. And you know, I appreciate that. I went to school one time about the potter and the clay. When I first told McCall to preach, Brother William House was my pastor, and he said, we'll see. And that was the way he dealt with it. My dad was a preacher and a pastor, and my dad said, God help you, son, you're going to need it. My dad gave me my first Bible, a little bit of a small one, not like this. It's one of his first Bibles. Well, I went back to school there 20-something years later. We had to dig his Bible out, found it in a little safe we had in the house. The binding was broke. The Bible was tattered and wore out. But I tell you what, when I pulled that Bible out of that little safe, here's one of the most beautiful little things I've seen. Because what I seen in it was my dad. And my dad helped mold me as a young man. And the Lord told me to take this little Play-Doh putty that my daughter had. And I took it to school. And I explained to the children after I read about the potter and the clay. that God molds us like a pot. Look, He can shape it any way you want. And if it don't work out right, just exactly right, He can beat it back down and do it all over again. Well, God can do that with us. Sometimes we kind of get off and get cracked up and tattered up and sinned up. Sometimes He has to just beat us down like He did David here. Just like He did David when David looked out there and took Bathsheba as his maid. Wrongfully, he did, didn't he? And what God do to him, God beat him down by taking his son. But look what David said. David didn't get distraught or anything, did he? He says, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. See, David relied on God to strengthen him through the loss of his son. But it made David a better person. No matter how tough the times get, how they get that tough, God will make you stronger. God will make you better. I'm getting that as God will mold you. Through me walking out of church wrongfully, I come back and stayed as a pastor for I can't really tell you how many years. 4, 5, 6 years, something. I never kept up with it. But through that, we had one young lady hang in there through these hard times after we went back. And we'd meet every Wednesday night, just me and this young lady and her sons. One of her sons was a real little fella. He'd hang on my leg sometimes when I preached. He'd come up on the altar and looked up at me and said, "Preacher, brother, little big old boy." But she had another older son. Through all this, we'd come on Wednesday nights and we'd share our heartaches of the way the church was going. But we hung in there for a long time, and she did, and the church began to grow. But through that trials and tribulations, her husband got saved. Her oldest son got saved. And see what happened here? But by relying on God and letting Him take us, as it says in these next verses, listen to it, it says, in the 143rd Psalm, it says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give an ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness." See, he's letting God know, please answer me. Please give me an answer on what I need to know. In other words, teach me my ways, your ways. Show me the way that I must go and strengthen me. And he says, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for thy sight shall no man living be justified." See, David knew he couldn't be justified. He was just a sinner saved by God's grace. And he know, as every day as we do, we're going to fail, we're going to sin, we're going to fall short. But the thing is, we must realize what we truly are. We are a sinner. We're all still sinners. But we're saved by His grace and God's forgiving. Hey, you know what you must do? You can't sin and not ask for forgiveness. You won't get it. You got to humbly ask for it. You got to realize, as I knelt down over there tonight, I had to ask God to forgive this wicked, weak servant. That's what I am. I'm wicked. He said, "No, you ain't." "Yeah, I sin daily. And just in my little thoughts, I sin daily. And the smallest things, we sin daily. It don't have to be going out here and drinking or committing fornication or anything like that or doing drugs." Paul said he sinned daily. Every day, as great an apostle as Paul was, he sinned and fell short. As good and mighty king as David was, he fell short every day. And we do. And we've got to look to God and ask Him to forgive us. And we're not truly justified. If we got our just rewards, I'd burn in hell. Justified. But see, we got a merciful God and a loving Son that He has. And He says here, He says, and look what He said in the third verse, "For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smite my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness, and those that have been long, as those have been long dead." In other words, devil's going to bring you down. He's going to beat you down as low as he can get you if you allow him. As the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. But the devil is stronger than us. The devil has more cutting tricks to trap us than we ever know. You know, he don't just jump right in and run over you like a big old football player. He's cunning, isn't he? His very cunning move was in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? Very slick, wasn't it? Slipped right in there and convinced Eve to take. And then he took that beautiful young lady and convinced the man to take. And it's not the woman's fault. It's a fault because Adam submitted to that trickery. He knew better. Just as we know better sometimes, even though the devil's so cunning, we mess up. And we do wrong. You know, my dad told me one time, he come beating on the back of the door, I'll never forget. And he says, "Hurry up, son, we got to get ready." I said, "I'll be out in a minute." I come out about 5 minutes later, he said, "Son, you lied to me." I thought, "What?" He said, "Yeah, you said you'd be out in a minute." "You lied." It's 4 minutes later. He wasn't mad. He's just teaching me a lesson. I did lie, didn't I? Ignorantly, I lied. Not willfully. But sometimes we sin and don't even realize we sin. We do every day, don't we? That's why we gotta go back to Him asking forgiveness every day. That's what makes us stronger. That's what keeps us close to God. Now those who willfully sin and do it, they are very wrong. If you do know better, you know you're going out and doing something wrong. Then you really got to give forgiveness, don't you? If you know you're walking out there and doing something dead wrong, you know better. But see, David here saying that his enemies are compassing him. It's not that he wants this trouble. This trouble's coming on him. And sometimes it's not really sin, it's just trouble of the world. I ain't here just talking about sin tonight, but sometimes just the way the world's going and the things in our daily life beat us down. It's not always sin. It's not our sin, but sometimes it's the sins of the world. Satan's out there waiting to distract us from God, waiting to bring us down and beat us down to where we can't serve God, making us so weak, so distraught, that we don't even care about even serving God. Sometimes we just want to throw our hands up like I did. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. So I looked at that church that Sunday morning and says, "I resign. I've had it." That's why I said in my mind, "I've had it. I'm sick of all the trouble and the trials that's going on here." Yeah, we preachers, we do that. We may not resign from the church, but we sure go home feeling that way a lot of times. Just like you do. Sometimes you feel that way at work and stuff. I just need to give up and get out of here. And you know you can be a light in your work if you just stay strong. You can be a light in somebody's life and don't even realize. But David goes on down there and he says, "For my enemies have persecuted my soul and have smited me, my life down to the ground. He made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." Beat him down so bad that he probably looked no better than a sinner in this old world. Have you ever been that way? You get so wrapped up and so beat down that a person can't tell you're a child of God. It can come that way, can't it? We can come that way. Where people can't see the light that's supposed to shine out of us. And then it just covers us up because we get so down and out that we don't show the light. We become as those who are out in the world. My biggest battle in my life was my temper. I have to deal with it. My wife tell you that. Not that I mistreat her or me. But sometimes I just be working on something and get so angry I just want to beat to death with a sludgehammer. And one time me and her brother was working on a vehicle and I was getting mad and he doesn't go to church. And been in church since 16 years old. He's 40 something years old. But I got angry one time. I was out there just slung a ratchet out across the driveway and he said, "Don't be like those other so-called preachers." He wasn't even in church. They always tell me, don't act like ghosts. Brother Moore, Junior Moore's daddy, one time I got angry at work, picked a bag of stuff up, slung across the warehouse, and he's old deacon. I was a young preacher, just got back to church. He said, The old deacon kept me straight. Sometimes we've got to have somebody keep us straight. And sometimes it might be a church member. It might be a friend. Or sometimes it's just the Word of God. He said, write it in your heart. And you write it in your heart, you know when you do wrong. Because it'll come back and condemn you. But he goes on down there and says, therefore my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. He got so bad that he became just desolate. He was struggling that hard with things. And sometimes we feel like we're just at the end of our rope. And we just want to let go and fall. And get it over with and walk away. That's not the way God wants it. You look all through this Bible and you'll find places where men and women of God didn't give up. They come to that point, didn't they? They come to the point where they just want to throw their hands up and walk away. But something was there and encouraged them to go on. And keep going. How do you think Moses felt when he kept going back to Pharaoh? All those times the Pharaoh wasn't letting people go. The people give up, didn't they? Moses got to the point where he wanted to give up. Gideon looked out there with 300 men. You think he wanted to face that mighty army? But yet God told him to go. And when he stood up for God, God stood up for him. And when we stand up for God, He stands there with us. He don't stand beside us. He don't stand for us. He stands within us. That's how close He is. He's within us. That's where our strength is. He is right inside of us. It's the Spirit that gives us the strength to stand and do His will no matter what the overwhelming odds are. God is there with you. The outcome may not be what you expect or what you want, but it's God's will. And that's where it comes in. When you do God's will, everything's going to be all right. No matter how hard or rough it seems. No matter how desolate it seems like things are getting. Look at this country. How much more worse can this country get? They took prayer to school. They're trying to do away with everything that has to do with God. They're trying to deny God. But is it a place for us to throw up and say no? Give up? I don't want to fight? No, we fight these battles. Why? Because it's like that little boy back here just walked up here and recited that pledge. Right now, it's just a pledge to him. When he gets saved, he'll really know what it means. But right now, that's what you continue doing. My prayer daily is to teach Mindy and raise her in the love and admiration of God. That's truly my prayer. And the blessings are when she stands up and sings. But the true blessing is going to be when she said, I thank the Lord for saving my soul.
Amen.
That's when the true blessing. That's when the blessings really come in, no matter how hard it gets. You think back to when you had a burden for a lost soul. Something that's a dirty word in our churches today. Hey, Brother Junior, I think, or somebody said the other day, people nowadays truly don't know what a burden is. They can't distinguish between a desire and a burden. I have a lot of desires that I want to see. But there's one burden I have. And it should be the burden that every preacher has for lost souls to be saved. If you ain't got that burden, preacher, you need to check your clock. I think you punched the wrong one and doing the wrong job. But he goes on down there and says, look what he says here in the fifth verse. I remember the days of old. I meditate upon all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hand. Remember the days of old. Now I heard a preacher say, I didn't hear it, I heard he said it. I'm tired about hearing about the old days. I love to remember the old days.
Amen.
Yeah. I love to see them back. When the churches are full of people who are praying, testifying, singing, and praying for lost souls.
Yeah.
When our altars, not just our altars up here are full, but they're back there.
Yeah.
Well, lost souls seeking God. When the Spirit comes in so strong, hey, that you can't stay on your seat. Hey, that you feel the presence of the Lord the minute you walk in. Hey, when you come to church and you're on the way to church, hey, and like my dad used to say, Lee, I wonder what great is going to happen in church today. See, there's a difference in that. I remember going out as a lost boy in the yard on that old farm I was raised on, and hearing my daddy over by the sinkhole where the big old rocks was, Lord, save my son, save Clayton. He called my name. In the middle of the night, I'd hear my mom call out my name in prayer. Please save his son. See, they had something there. When mom would stand up in church and say, y'all pray for Clayton to get saved. Or y'all pray that the Lord get a hold of him. Hell, that's what David is remembering, the days when he rejoiced in the Lord and the good things that God done for him. Can you see what that does? Hey, that strengthens you. And it makes you realize, and if our kids don't see these things in church or see these things at home, how can we teach them their ways? The best way is to do like Brother Moran did. Teach by example. See, I'm the kind of guy that has to be taught by seeing. As a maintenance man, I went to school for 2 years almost. I learned more by watching a guy who'd been in for 30 years than I ever did in those school books. I learned by experience. And that's the best way to learn. But he goes on down, he says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsts after thee, as the thirsty land of Sheila. See, he become hungry for God's presence, didn't he? He came hungry for the strength of God. And that's what we got to be. He is thirsting and hunger after God's will. The Bible says it in Matthew 5th chapter, says, blessed are they that thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. That's Christ speaking there. They shall be filled. When you hunger for it, you will get a drink. When you sit back content and cold, you don't realize it, but you're awful thirsty. You're drying up and dying. Like that desolate part that he talked about up in the other verse. But his next verse says, his next six verses, listen to what he says. He says, hear me speedily, O Lord, for my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, unless I be like unto them that go down into the pit. What pit? The pit of sin. Help me, Lord. He's asking God for help. Help me that I don't fail. My soul fell. I've become weak. I've become tired. I need your strength. I need your hands to guide me. I need your strength to show me, to fill me up and give me that I need to continue on. That's what we need. The battle's not over. Not by a long shot. You can lay down and rest. When you truly lay down and rest. When you draw your last breath. There's no retirement plan or pension plan in this work. Oh, there's a retirement plan. It is. It's a lot better than 401k you got at work. Because it don't go bankrupt. It's there. It's secure. It's in God's hands. Store up your treasures in heaven. Retire there. And it says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. You know, as reading this verse here, I'm a morning person. Why tell you that? She's not. I get up morning smiling, believe it or not. Wake up, I'm the type of guy that wakes up, jumps up. I'm ready to go. That quick. I'm just that kind of person. I used to have to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning, Brother Junior, tell you. I'd have to get up at 2:30 in the morning and get ready to go to work. I go in where I was a maintenance man at. My job was to open the plant up. We only had one shift in that little plant I worked in. Good little place. My boss was old-fashioned missionary Baptist, so if I needed to do anything, I'd just take off and go do it. She lit me. As long as I had some way to fill my job, and I go back there and ask the boy named Donnie Bryant, Donnie, can you fill that for me? He's another boy, and I'd okay with my boss, Joe Dives, which he was an old-fashioned Nazarene. He was saved. He'd give you a good testimony. As long as you got something to cover for me. I go back and ask Donnie. Donnie would fill in for me. I go take off, go minister school, go preach somewhere off somewhere or something other. Or go do a funeral, whatever. What I'm getting at is I had to be at work at 4 a.m. to unlock that plant. Fire a big old 150-pound boiler. Get it hot, because I worked in an industrial line. So you had to get this thing up to where it was steaming hot. To where it could wash these clothes and run these dry cleaners. It took an hour better to get this thing up because you had to raise it 2 degrees every 5 minutes. So it took forever to raise this thing up. But I'd go on and open the plant up, get everything, do my PMs, which is preventive maintenance, go around and check everything. I'd open the doors up. Long about 5, depending on what time of year it was, 5 to 6 o'clock, I'd have these big overhead doors open. Well, again, let's think about what he said here. In the morning, I hear your voice. I'm getting here, the birds sing. And the sun starts peeking over the horizon. And that's the most beautiful time. You see, I can talk to God because there's nobody else there to bug me.
Amen.
I can see his beauty and why he created. And it strengthened me for today. So the best way to start your day is start your day out talking to God. And talk to him until you feel his presence. Don't just recite a prayer with this, but talk to him until you feel him. That's a prayer. And when you do, ask him for his guidance and his strength to make it through that day and for every decision you make in that day. Because you're a light to somebody. You're showing somebody the way to God. And David here is saying, you know, just so cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee I trust. Trust him. If he tells you something, do it. Walk his ways. It may not seem like it might be what the mind wants to do, but if what God wants to do, it'll be all right. So I made some decisions in my life that wasn't God's, and it turned out to be the worst mess there ever was. I took a job in maintenance in the hospital, making more money than I ever made in my life. Me and my wife stayed broke. Couldn't pay bills. Why? Because I didn't trust in God. I took the job because it looked like the thing to do in here. It wasn't. They give me a beeper and a cell phone that says you're on call 2 days a month, 2 weeks out of a month. We call you in, you got to be here. Well, the guy who hired me lied to me. He said, oh, they never call you in on weekends. I was called at 5-6 times, sometimes every weekend. Sometimes 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Go to church like this. Couldn't take preaching appointments on the weekends I had to be on call. Because it hindered my work. Well, it hindered my work, all right, Brother Benny. It hindered my work for the Lord. So I looked at the Lord, talked to the Lord. The Lord said, leave that beeper, leave that cell phone in your car, and go to church. So I throw those stinking things in the car seat, went to the church, come out one time. I had 4 calls. I didn't answer them. I answered them when I got out of church. Come again the next day. My boss asked me why you answer. I said, because I'm in church. I'm not going to answer when I'm in church. If you don't like it, fire me. I never got fired. But I did wind up quitting. Best thing I ever did. Why? Because I let it hinder me. Many decisions we make in our life hinder our walk with God. And David did that. Many times decisions David made, he made the wrong decision because he didn't listen to God. My daddy taught me that. And I ignored it. He wouldn't buy a car without my mom's consent. And the only thing my mom could drive was nothing. He tried to give her a driving lesson. She drove right straight off over the driveway into the ditch. She'd be 86 years old right now, still alive. But she couldn't drive a lick. But still, he consided in her and everything they did. And you know what they did? They prayed over every decision they made. Even buying a car. He said, what's crazy? No, it's not. If it's not God's will for you to have a car and a car payment, then you don't need it. Everything should be done in consideration of God and follow Him. Even the most small things in life, we're to ask God. Because see, God, that's what this word's saying here. It says, and I stretched forth my hand. It says, eighth verse says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. What should I do? Ask God. Like I said, I was raised on a farm, and we depended on the crops to feed us. My dad got hurt in 1979, couldn't do no more factory work. Matter of fact, he's disabled. So the farm we lived on, we rented the house. The landlord, God provided a way. Dad went to the landlord, and he said, well, y'all just take care of my cattle and take care of these 72 acres over here. You don't have to pay me no rent. That was God. So Dad said, yeah. It freed my dad up to do the work of the Lord. Even though it was hard work taking care of that farm for a couple of teenage boys and a crippled up man, we did it. We walked therein, or he did. We grew the garden and ate out of that garden. God provided a way for us to eat. My dad didn't get his disability until my senior year. He was hurt my eighth grade year. So 4 years we were without money. Mom became a school cook. Back then, they only got paid September through May. They didn't do like they do now. She made minimum wage. We made it through our life that way. But you know what? Every night and every morning, I heard the supplications of their prayers. And God carries through them. See, it was a good teaching lesson for me. When I look back now, that little man who had a sixth grade education, that mother who had a sixth grade education, I thought wasn't too smart, was smarter than any college professor that ever lived. And I'm not talking about Brother Benny. He's a good man. I know he's been to college and everything. But the man who walks with God, or a woman who walks with God, is truly the smart ones. Because they trust in God. And he goes on there and says, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. He's asked for God to just comfort him, take care of him. And that's what we've got to do in these times. In our lives, whether we got major problems or just everyday things, ask God to help us in our lives and see how much better they go. See how much easier it is to handle these things in daily life. See, that's what truly hinders us. It's not the big overwhelming things. It's everyday life that hinders us. How many go home and sweat over bills? How am I going to pay this? My car's tore up. I got a car sitting driver. I got an alternator's out on. This thing out here, we're driving. You go on the road and it's shut off. Can't figure out what's wrong with it. It'd have a half a tank of gas in it. Act like it's not got any gas in it at all. I worry over that stuff. But you know, I took off to Ohio here a few weeks ago to help a revival in that very van with my little daughter. Left the house. Lord, please let us get there. Don't let this thing break down on this 500-mile trip. Guess what? That van never sputtered. Made it all the way up there. See, God takes care of you. And I'm not giving myself honor, Lord. That's God. We just need to let Him help us in our everyday life. Hey, Brother Junior sings a song, there's too much world in church. There's too much world in our homes. And He put God in our homes. And when we put Him in our homes, He'll be in our church. Because what is a church? It's not this building we're standing in. You're looking at the church when you look in the mirror. There don't need to be too much world in us. There need to be more God in us than world. And that's what's happening. And David's asking God here just to help him deliver him from this enemy. And the enemy is the world. It's Satan. He tries to get into this church, this holy priesthood, this tabernacle of God. If he gets in there and gets it all marred up and sinned up in like a pit of sin, where's God? We was cutting up the other day. We had to go dig a water line up that was leaking. Me and my wife did. She's out there digging with me. She said our first day of vacation, so somebody we wrestled in the mud. We had to dig up 3 foot deep. Come to find out it wasn't our water line, it was our neighbor's. His run right beside our house. And it was his water line that was leaking. What I'm getting at is that mud covered us up. I fixed the neighbor's water line, but I had to lay on my belly to reach the water line. It was that deep. When I got up, I was covered with mud. You ever seen red clay Kentucky mud? I got a pair of pants that's still covered in the stains of red clay Kentucky mud. But what it do, it covered me up, didn't it? That's what Satan wants to do, is cover us up in that mud. That people can't see the pureness of God in us. And that's what this world needs to see. And it says, to deliver me, O thy Lord, from my enemies, I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. You notice he hasn't declared it. Thou art my God. It's not the little G like we see sometimes. That's a big G. He's my God. He's my strength. He's my refuge. He's mine. And see, you got to get it down to the personal thing. David got it down personal. He's mine. That's what we got to do. We got to get it down personal. He's my God. He's Brother Benny's God. He's Brother Jerry's God. He's your God. He's yours. And he's the one you go to. He's your Savior. It's personal. Let's get it one-on-one. He's one-on-one. There might be thousands or millions of us, but still, he's a big God, ain't he? He'll just say, he's my sheep, know my voice. My sheep. He's my God. Did you know sheep, we found this out, sheep can be stolen from their shepherd, and 2 years later, the shepherd can come through and speak, and that sheep will leave that other flock and come to that shepherd. 2 years later. Sheep has 360-degree vision. That's awesome, man. What does he call us? His sheep. Now, ask me how a sheep can see behind him. I can't figure that one out. That's what they said on the thing we studied. But a sheep can be stolen. Another shepherd come through. Or you can take a whole two or three herds of sheep and put them all together. Send one shepherd out there. That shepherd, he speaks. His sheep will leave the mother sheep and come to him. And send the next shepherd out there. He will speak. And them sheep will leave and come to him. What you saying? We ought to know our Savior. And know his voice. But he says, you know, David says, my God, and thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Lead me that way. Show me where to be among the uprighteous. Take me in that place where I can be upright. Not upside down, but upright. And he says that, quicken me or bring me back to life or revive me, is what that's saying. How many of us have to be revived? I do daily. Paul said, renew me daily. God, renew me daily. That's not an exact quote, but that's what it means. In other words, crank me up. Renew me. And he says, renew me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Get me away from Satan. What God, what Christ tell Peter, get ye behind me, Satan. And that's what we need to do daily. Hey, you know what? My Bible says Satan can't sit in the congregation of righteousness. If you get right with God, he's not going to hang around. He's going to come back. But you get right with God, he's going to leave again. And see, it's a repetitive thing, as somebody said about pastors having them teach repetitively over and over again. You know how many times I taught the church covenant and 18 hours of faith while I pastored? I taught them and taught them and taught them. Why? You teach 18 hours of faith every time you teach. Teach one of them. At least. But it's repetitive. Why? Because you always got somebody coming in new. You always got somebody need to be reminded. And that's what he's saying here, you know, quick me, O Lord, for thy righteousness' sake, for my soul's sake, shall bring me out of trouble. And of thy mercy cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. I always ask God, destroy this stuff that is hindering me. Get it out of my way. Hey, that's what we got to do. If something hinders you, get it out of there. Hey, if your job's hindering you, get out of there. Hey, if the TV set's hindering you from serving God, turn it off or pick it up and throw it outside in the yard. Do something with it. But do something with it. If something's hindering you, get it out of your way. Ask God to help remove that hindrance. You know what would hinder me in preaching? That little thing that sit on your wrist. Notice I don't wear one. I used to catch myself going like this while I was preaching. It hindered me, Brother Benny. I took it off 20-something years ago and then put it back on. I don't care about a clock. When I'm in God's house, I'm on God's time. When I preach, I'm on God's time. If you got a hungry stomach, well, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Truly, I'm not. Because when God's done with me, I'm done. But when he's not, I'm going to preach as long as he says preach. When God says sing, we need to sing as long as he says sing. When God says we're done, then we need to say amen and go home. But when we get up in the morning, there's no clock. From 12 o'clock to 12 o'clock, 24 hours a day, we're a child of God. 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, 352 days out of the year. We're a child of God. Walk therein. I believe it's 109. The young man, he said the verse. It's 119 songs. I'll turn to it. I don't want to misquote. The young man quotes better than I do. Don't he? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's where we are to look at. Every day where I say that. You want a road map on making decisions in your life? There's 66 books of it. The devil gets on you. Kneel and pray. Open it up. And there'll be something in it that strengthens you. God will show you. Don't think he won't. How do you think us preachers come up with these messages? We kneel down, we pray, and we pray and ask God to show us. And then we read it. And then I get it while I study it. I get it while I'm praying for it. And then I get it when I preach it. Like I told my church one time, I get it three times before you ever get it once. So I get beat up three or four times. But I thank God for it. But read his word daily. We go to bed. Pull it out and read it. And then you lay your head down on a pillow and talk to God while you go to sleep. And you know what? He'll talk to you while you're asleep. He will. It's been a blessing to be here, Brother Benny. I'm done, brother.
We want to have a song. I'd like to send a right-hand fellowship to him for to go place to place and preaches, and if there's somebody here that's lost, the altar's always open. I'll be seated for the Lord. But let us encourage one another in our love for the Lord and with our fellowship as stand and
turn to page number 31.
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? And in the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there?
Thank you.
Lord, for bringing us here today, for the message we heard today and what brought it to us. Let it be with us during this week. Lead us and guide us to walk better in God's way. Bring us back together next Sunday. Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit.